I'm from down the way, so I can relate to that text. Watch this. I've told you this 100 times, you've been here, but you got to get it. There's a difference between a thief and a robber. A thief sneaks. A thief wait till y'all leave and come in your house, grab your stuff, and creep out. Not a robber. Down the way, those that were strung out or messed up or just really hard up, they wouldn't wait for you to leave. No, no. That takes too long. They got to get their stuff. They come up on you with the pistol. Say, give me your stuff. God says to Israel, if you don't tithe, you're not a thief. You're a robber. He says, if you don't give me a dime out of every dollar, you might as well put a pistol to my head and say, no, God, my gas bill due this week. Shut up.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Proverbs 13, verse 3. And it says simply, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Lock loose lips. My brothers and sisters, when we talk about locking loose lips, the word loose here means irreverent. It means disrespectful. It means ungodly. It means unguarded. It means those things that are frivolous. It means those things that are worthless. It means those things that are vain. It means those things that are vulgar. When you talk about locking loose lips, it is for your own protection. You see, what you don't realize is that you're going to have to give an account of every word and deed done in the body. You've got enough stuff, whether you know it or not, that Satan has garnered against you without you adding foolish talk to it. Adding more to your record than need be. Some folk talk foolish just to be talking foolish. No reason for it. Not warranted. But they have a need and a desire to be heard, and with nothing worth saying, they just talk foolish talk. How many times have you talked to somebody that ain't have nothing to talk about? I've so long ago got beyond folk who just called and didn't have nothing to say. Well, what can I do? Well, I didn't have nothing. I'm busy. You see, because when you don't have anything to say, you make up stuff to say. You start pulling for stuff to say. You start going into areas that you don't need to be in when you don't have anything worthwhile to contribute. If you don't have anything worthy to say, shut up. Shut up. Now, I want to give you three important points that I think will be helpful to all of us in passing this word on. Lock loose lips. First reason we need to lock loose lips is because you can't tell everybody everything. Can I get a witness in the house? You can't tell everybody everything. Here is one reason why. Because everything isn't everybody's business. You know somebody who always want to be in everybody's business? I always want to know what's going on in this person's life, in that person's life, a busybody in other men's affair, want to know stuff that has nothing to do with them, related to them, connected to them in no way, shape, or form, but yet they just want to be a part of the know. I call that the nosy group. They want to tell you what they heard, and they want to know what you heard, and they've got a vicious circle that they check. Any new news? Heard anything else lately? They pick, but what about this? Have you heard anything about this? Everything ain't everybody's business. Second thing is, listen, some people don't want to know. I'm one of those persons. I don't want to know everything. I don't want to know everybody's business. Sometimes people start talking and I have to say, wait, ho, TMI, too much information. I don't need to know all of that. Some things I just don't need to know. Some things other folk don't need to know. And you've got to be clear, my brothers and sisters, in helping folk understand what you do want to know and what you don't want to know. Because if you do not make a clear line, a defined line as to what you want to hear and don't want to hear, they'll dump junk on you all day long. Don't call me with this mess. See, isn't it amazing how gossipers and folk who talk foolish talk know who to talk that to? Isn't it amazing when they want to know mess, they know who to come to? Isn't it strange that there are some people they'll come to repeatedly and others can be right by them and they won't ask them a thing? See, when folk know that you're not about the foolishness and the mess, they don't bring you all that foolishness and mess. Because they realize if they don't come correctly, if they don't come straight, you're not going to be a part of that foolishness. And then when you start telling them stuff like, well, listen, why don't you just pray for them? They don't want to hear that. They want you to join in and contribute to that. And then they take what you say and add on it to the next person they tell. Am I talking to anybody else in the house? And the third reason why you don't tell everybody these things is because they can't handle it. Some people can't handle everything. Listen to me well. There are people right now who have gotten into altercations, false teeth in their mouth right now. Not because of Tooth Decay, but because they didn't lock loose lips. Some people have been stabbed and shot and even killed. And some people are in jail right now because folk couldn't lock loose lips. Some people just can't handle some stuff you say. And that's why you need to be careful that you can't tell everybody everything. And when you're working in the knowledge of truth, then truth is what you attract and what you want to talk about. Something of substance, something that has value, something that means something, something that's going to be helpful, something that's going to build up. That's the kind of thing you want to talk about. You're not in all of that foolishness. Life becomes more serious. Your witness becomes more serious. You decide, I want to know the things that please God, not the things that tickle my ear. Point number two, you need to know that your talk reveals your thoughts. Your talk reveals your thoughts. I can tell you whether your mind is of a pure thought or an evil thought just by listening to you talk. There's a saying, it's far better to appear intelligent than to open up one's mouth and remove all doubt. Have you seen some folk that dressed up, look good, look intelligent, till they open their mouth? And then have you heard the conversation that came out of their mouth and you thought they were more substantive than that, and you found out that they were somebody you did not want to have conversation or communication with because of where they are in their thinking? Triviality, small talk, little stuff, because there is no substance, does not give one the comfort of being in a meaningful conversation. And so when you just reveal your thoughts, look at what the word says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now notice what it starts off. I like to say life and death, but the word says death and life. One of the reasons why it says death first is because most folk conversation is deadly conversation. They speak death to their situations. They speak death in the atmosphere. They speak death to the reality of what it is that they truly desire. You don't realize you have the power to change your atmosphere, change your attitude, change your action, your activities, your ambitions. You've got the ability to do that, but it begins with your mouth. Thank God it doesn't start till you talk. Listen, we can't control all of the thoughts that come to our minds. See, Satan can, he can bombard our minds with all kinds of thought, and thank God that we're not responsible for the thoughts that come there, but we are responsible for the thoughts we harbor. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the thought, see, because we're supposed to bring every thought that's not like him under subjection, control. We've got to rope that thing, bring it on down, and make it pay attention to us, not us pay attention to it. But when I start thinking on the seed that Satan has planted in my mind and developing it more and more, then I become a participant in that evil thought that he has placed in my mind. Now I bought into it. I have ownership of that thought, and I make that thought mine. Now once I get through thinking enough about it, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about it next. Because you think about it first and you talk about, I was just thinking. And then you start thinking, talking about what you were thinking about. Thank God the thoughts in our heads, listen, have no life breathed in them until we open up our mouths and speak them out. And death and life are in, listen, the power of decisions. the decision. In other words, I decide whether I want to speak crazy or speak good. I decide whether I want to cuss you out or speak holy to you. I decide I want to act like I got good sense or act like I'm crazy. I decide whether I'm going to lose my mind up in here and not let you make me lose my mind up. I decide how I respond to you. No matter what you say or do to me, it's my decision in how I respond. And you see, I have the power to cancel out. Listen, I might not have the ability to stop everything you send my way, but I have the ability to stop everything I send back your way. I might not have the ability to change what you think about me, but I sure have the ability to think what I think about myself and what I speak over my own life and what I let go from my own lips. And it doesn't matter what other folks say about you. What God wants to know is what you say about you. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm blessed going in, coming out, in the field, in the city. I always, what do you say about you? That's important to realize. All right, when you look at this again, point three, when you're mad or glad and you speak what you concealed in your heart is revealed. Let me say it again. When you're glad or you're mad, when you speak what's concealed in your heart, what you're hiding in your heart, is revealed. Do you know there are two times emotionally, and they're both strong. When you are happy and you're glad and you're excited and you're on top of the world, and your fears and your whatever you might have had reservations are no longer a part of the equation, you start saying the things with relief that you wanted to say. They come out. It's like, man, oh, this, that, and the other. And you let it flow. When you're mad, it's another time in your emotional extreme that when you speak, what's been concealed, hidden, tucked away in your heart becomes revealed. That's why when folk use substances, you know, when they become inebriated, when they get a little tipsy, when they've had a little puff pass, you know, when they get comfortable in that place where their mind now feels like I can say what's on my mind, in my heart, they let out what they really want to say under the guise of that stuff made me say that. And then when they come back to themselves and realize that what was concealed has been revealed, they say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. No, correction. They meant to say it, but they may not have wanted to say it right then, or they said what they really meant, but they didn't want you to know what they said. In other words, what they don't realize is that in those two emotions, gladness and madness, your mouth speaks and what's in your heart comes out. Matthew 12:34 says, O ye generation of vipers, listen at this, ye which are evil, how can you say stuff that's good? Listen at this. For out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. What is the Bible saying? When you get full up of whatever it is that's in there, it's coming out.
And sometimes the emotion, whether it's happy or sad or mad, helps to take that and overflow out, and you get a relief from what you said, even though when it comes to the reality, you may be sorry that you said it, because now you can't take back, because folk know how you really feel. And so Jesus said, if ye which are evil know how to say good things, listen at this. The truth of the matter is that you can really only say in those times those things that's really in abundance in your heart. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you realize that the Bible says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. That word life literally means the wholeness. That means the fullness of life, the effervescence, the joy of life. Listen, when you learn how to keep your mouth closed about stuff you oughtn't be talking about, you're going to find out that life is a lot better. Because what you don't realize is when you open your mouth and release words, words, listen, shape your world. Words build a bridge to your future. If they're negative words, words will build a barricade against your future. So the very words you speak either build bridges to your future, which helps you get to them faster, or the words that are negative and demoralizing and against the will of God put a barricade that keeps you from getting. A whole lot of us don't realize what we have said has stopped God from blessing us. A lot of the things that God would want us to say from his word, we don't have sense enough to understand that we've defeated ourselves. You around here worrying, and pointing the finger at this person, they said this about me, they said that about me. No, what did you say about you? It's what you say God is going to honor. Because look at what the word says. God has given us through Jesus Christ, he's given us the power to bind whatsoever we desire on earth, and he'll bind it in heaven. We can loose it on earth, and he'll loose it in heaven. How do we do that? With words. With words. You've got to be careful to understand that your words are important. Lock loose lips. The words that you speak are the words that cause you to be defeated or that bring you into victory. One more point and then I'm gone. Be careful what you say, because they're coming back one day. That's write that down. Be careful what you say, because they're coming back one day. Well, how can you say that, preacher? Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he shall reap. Not something else. Listen at this. Your words are seeds. Listen to me well. Your words are seeds. And what you don't understand is when you release those words, you are sowing into the atmosphere. Now, when those words have left your mouth and you've sown into the atmosphere, you've forgotten many times what you've said, but not the atmosphere. You see, either God or Satan will take hold of those words. If they're God-filled faith words, God's spirit, God's word, God's anointing, take hold of those words and bring those things to pass. If they are negative, ungodly, satanic-filled words, Satan takes those words and he brings those things to pass. See, what you don't realize is whether they are negative or positive, those words will produce the fruit of those seeds. That's why when you have forgotten what you said and seed time, when you spoke it, has been planted, and time goes on, and harvest comes, and you wonder, why are these things happening? Help me, somebody in the house. Happening to me. What you don't realize is you've already sown the seeds of those deeds that have now grown up. The reason you don't recognize them is because when you sow them, they were seeds. Now that they've grown up, they're trees, and they don't look like they were when you said it. Ah, I wish I had a helper in the house. That's why stuff changes and it looks different and it's more difficult and it's a whole lot more heavier than it was when you said it, because it was a seed then, but it's a tree now. Tell somebody and say, lock loose lips. Tell somebody else, tell them, lock loose lips. Tell them what you sow, you're going to reap. Ah, what you sow, that, not something else, but that shall he also reap.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Of Kelly's 30th anniversary. It reads, for all the prayers and support for Kelly's sitting services through the years, we say thank you. It has been a matter of joy to provide great services to clients like you. Kelly's has been fortunate enough to have loyal families as clients throughout the years and loyal employees who love and support God's people. Your dedication, sincerity, and perseverance have made a significant contribution to the continuation of this business that Kelly started 30 years ago on May 23, 1993 in Boise, Louisiana, and has extended its love to the state of Texas. Our prayer is continued blessings on your life as this agency moves forward in its mission to care for our community. To past employee alumni, again, thanks to